Hi, and welcome to the Switch Natural podcast. My name is Andrea Dar, and on my journey to find non-toxic products, I've met some amazing people. People that are driven by their life experiences to create something new that can help others on their wellness journey. I'm sharing candid conversations so that you can be inspired too.
My personal wellness journey, when I think about what really prompted the whole thing, was my high-risk twin pregnancy. Like, that was when I really dove in and thought, okay, I need to get to the bottom of how my health. What's my optimal health? So I know that you have had a lot of health struggles too. And I'm wondering, what was the beginning of the journey? What was the thing that got you really looking at your health in a detailed way?
It was a very long journey for me that really started quite young. The summer after fifth grade, I was very healthy up until then. Grew up dancing and swimming, and I continued to dance through all of these health issues. But the summer after fifth grade, we had just gotten back from a camping trip. I can remember my parents like unloading and cleaning everything up while I sat and ate lunch. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got extremely hot. Went to the bathroom, like so hot, I had to take all of my clothes off. I was laying on the bathroom floor, just freaking out, not knowing what was going on. And it took, ultimately, long story short, until my senior year of college to figure out what was going on. Now, looking back, I think that I had gotten Lyme disease, and that's when at first, like, I got very sick. I think that's what happened. But at the time, we went, you know, we were members of Kaiser, which was very much like, I've heard it's improved. I've never gone back to find out personally, but seeing a different doctor every time, you know, not knowing.
You mean Kaiser, the health plan?
Yeah. That was our health plan at the time, where you're seeing someone for 15 minutes at a time and a different person every time, you know? So there was no continuity, no one looking at the whole case to figure out what was going on. So it was, I think I lost 20 pounds that summer. And when you're in fifth grade and already a dancer, that's a lot, you know?
Wow.
Really skinny, just couldn't eat anything. But slowly improved. I think my body slowly like took care of it, just was never really the same. And then that, another piece of the puzzle was that senior year of college, where my mom promised like just one more doctor, Christian, please. She had a colleague that her daughter had very similar symptoms to what I was experiencing at the time, which through the years had been explained as like irritable bowel syndrome or just really bad periods.
What were some of your symptoms along? Like, did they change as you went through puberty and that sort of thing? Or
they did. Yeah, they changed a lot. And I think, you know, looking back now, I know what how much havoc Lyme can wreak on the body, and that it can turn into a lot of hormonal issues. There's just so many different paths it can take. So I really do think the origin was Lyme and co-infections. And then it just, there's a family history of some female issues too. So I think that just combined with it. But my symptoms, I had a lot of like joint pain, you know, those hot flashes, but a lot of intestinal distress. And now when they figured out, you know, I went to that doctor, my parents paid for a doctor at Stanford out of pocket, which was, I'm so grateful that they did that. And throughout the years prior to that, it was doctors telling my parents, I think it's all in her head, you know, and I'm thinking, God, is it all in my head? You know, you question yourself when nobody finds the answers.
Start to feel crazy, right?
Yeah. Am I a head case? Do I have anxiety? Am I causing my stomach to have these problems? But he figured out that I had endometriosis and Hashimoto's. He was amazing. He's the first doctor to ever ask me any questions about what I ate, what my diet was like no doctors had ever, I mean, of course that doesn't matter. Right. So,
right. What was his specialty?
Female health. Yeah. He had, I think, five daughters, and it just was really, really important to him to, focus on female health. So he was so ahead of his time. I mean, he did allergy testing, where I went in and spent an entire day, and he was seeing, okay, which hormones is your body reacting poorly to? So that was my first introduction into like homeopathics, because the hormones that he found that we had allergic reactions to, he would actually make drops of those hormones. And on certain days of our cycle, we would take it to build up our tolerance to them. Surgery, excision surgery for the lesions, the endometriosis lesion. So a lot of my symptoms, like I said, were digestive. you don't know what's going on with endometriosis until you get inside. And I was a hot mess inside. It was like the lesions were surrounding my bowels, my rectum, my bladder. I had like one ovary stuck to my uterus and lesions all the way up to my lungs. So like it was incredible. And to look inside, I mean, just brown liquid inside, just really, really sick inside. So
I would never imagine I was having gut issues that meant that I had endometriosis.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, I would say TMI, but I think everybody that follows me knows I'm pretty open about everything. Every bowel movement felt like I was being stabbed. And now I understood after surgery, it's because my rectum was so, it couldn't expand, right? To let poop go through. It had lesions all around it. So every time that happened, it did feel like ripping. So the surgery was very necessary. Now, Most people do have to go back for multiple surgeries throughout their lifetime. I had the surgery when I was 21 and I'm 47 now and I haven't had to go back. So I'm so grateful for him opening up my eyes to more like holistic medicine. He was an MD, but he was willing to look outside the box and look at Eastern medicine and food and allergy testing and all of those different things. So he's really who first piqued my curiosity with regards to like even knowing there was something other than conventional medicine. You know,
right.
My friend, Dr. Jess Petros, always says, be your own best doctor. And he was the first person that really taught me to advocate and research for my own health. And that just because someone was a doctor didn't mean they knew more than me. They don't have the time to research my particular case like I have time to research my particular case. So it's been years of trying new things. And then we adopted our second child from China in 2005. And within her first 2 years of life, we had testing done and found out that she couldn't have gluten. And I said, we'll just be a gluten-free family. And my husband and son were like, no. So I said, okay, mommy's going to do it with you. You know, you're not going to be alone. Whole new layer where I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And then like had genetic testing done and found out that I had celiac all those years and didn't know too.
And didn't even know it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that explains a lot of the digestive distress and just overall feeling unwell as well. So,
right. And there's this thing that we kind of become accustomed to feeling a certain way. I mean, I found this, you just get used to your pains or problems or aches that it just feels like normal life. And then when you slowly start to chip away, you realize how much better you could feel or you should feel.
Right before this recording, I was meeting with a client who met with a neurologist and he was going over all sorts of different things. And he was saying, you're experiencing this, 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 and this, right? You know, just guessing based off of her labs. And she said, yeah, but that's normal. And he's like, no. It's not. And she was saying the same thing. Like, I've just become so accustomed to pushing forward and being like, it's okay, which is commendable, right? Like she's continued to do life, even though she's been very sick. Yeah.
It reminds me of a visit I had. I have a neurologist because I've suffered from migraines for so many years. And when we were looking at different treatments in the past, you know, I had to tell him how many I had a month and I was just like, oh, I get them a lot. I have a lot, you know, and then when I really started tracking them, I realized I probably had more than 20 in 1 month. And it kind of just blew my mind because some of them, I would function through them. So I think there's a lot to what you're saying about.
Yeah. I mean, let's think celiac about 10 days a month, not having them.
Right. Right.
Right. A third of the month, maybe. Yeah. We're tough.
When you do that for so many years, it's just until you have to really look at it or something just kind of becomes a paradigm shift. There just has to be something that happens that makes you look at it in a different way. And it's really interesting with your celiac. It was your daughter that.
Yeah.
Never would have known.
Yeah. I respect everyone's viewpoints. I do believe in God. And I mean, she was brought into our life for so many reasons and we're just such a perfect match, but that's another one of those. Well, that's a nice God wink there.
Yeah, really.
My health has just been the analogy that we always give to our clients too. It's been peeling back the onion, just figuring out more and more as time goes on. And I mean, my goal is to just get healthier and healthier. And I think at different ages, we have different goals. And right now I want to get myself primed and in the best shape to be the most fun, most active grandma someday, you know?
Love that.
Yeah.
And I like that you said it's just to get healthier and healthier. I think that, you know, you overcome a big health obstacle, you think you would be done, but it really is never ending.
It is, you know, years ago, I'm a born and bred Californian who moved to Idaho in 2013. So we've been here a long time, but I used to see Dr. Leigh Erin Keneally in California. Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
I read her book in our book club.
She's so to the point, and I love that about her. I'm like a Scandinavian that married a Chinese guy. So like, we are direct, you know, and I tell my clients that, like, you need to see if our personalities match, because I'm very loving, but I'm also going to call you on your stuff, right? And yeah. I was waiting for her to come in. Typically, I mean, like so many doctors, they run late and you're just sitting there and you're trying not to overhear, but the walls are very thin, right? She was in the patient room next to me. Yeah. And I heard the patient say, like, I just don't know if I can do all of this. She was recommending different things. This is just so much work. And she said, well, you should try getting even sicker. That's a lot more work. And that's always stuck with me. Like, you think this is work? Try having cancer. That's a lot.
Absolutely.
More, you know? So yeah, it is. It's my goal is to always have people on as few supplements as possible, but certain people are going to always require certain supplements. And we live in a world that is not like the world our grandparents lived in. So we do have to make an effort to detox. And I'll hear out in, you know, the regular world, because I live in my like functional medicine world, but we have a liver. What do we need to do to detox? Our liver does it. Well, our livers are overburdened. Let me tell you, every single client that has ever come to me has gut issues and an overburdened liver, and you have to work to keep those drainage pathways open. You have to work to make it so the liver can do the work it needs, because we live in a world that has a lot more chemicals and toxins than our grandparents did.
So much of that is unavoidable, even if you are doing all the things.
You could have your home that you spray only with organic or, you know, organic essential oils and all of that, but your neighbor is using Roundup. You think that's not going to get in your lawn and in your air? Of course it is. You know, so there's not to scare people, because there's things you can do for it, but we can't control everyone. So
I appreciate that perspective that you have of just being upfront. People might take it in offensively or get defensive when they hear this, but this is the honest truth, and people need to hear it, or else they won't even think to make changes if you're not aware of it.
And I've learned through the years. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. So I've figured out like who's ready for massive change and who just needs that little drip of information that eventually, you know, will resonate with them. And
I see.
It's fine. You know, everybody's on their own journey at their own time. I mean, I think later we're going to end up talking about breast implant illness, to throw that in there. But I had a friend that when I had it, or kind of figured out that's part of what was going on with me. She's like, but mine are fine. I do fine. I'm doing great. I haven't ever had any issues. And I went, that's great. I'm so happy for you. Inside, I also knew what was going on with her. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is going on.
You were putting some dots together.
Yeah. And she came to me about a year later and said, so I actually think that might be going on. It's just, you know, she wasn't ready. I think we all just are on our own journeys. And when we're ready.
Very true. Very true. Because things that I've heard years ago that just kind of floated around in my head, but I didn't take action on. And then all of a sudden I was ready to do them. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I knew about this, but there's no way I would have done that 5 years ago.
Yeah. Sometimes you just plant seeds and that's awesome. You know, you wait till someone's ready. I have people come to me and say, you know, I want my teenager to come to you. And I said, well, I would love to help your teenager, but I want to have a conversation with them first and see if your teenager wants to see me, because if they don't, it's going to be a waste of time for you and for me, and they're going to resent it. And
yeah,
I've had great success with some teens who are on board. If they're not,
I can imagine it's just a waste of time. So you had Lyme, then you figured out by chance that you had celiac, and then you mentioned breast implant illness. So how did that even come into your mind? What made you think about it? And, you know, breast implants, people have been getting them since the 70s. So,
I mean, of course, pretty new back then, right?
But I've only recently even heard the word breast implant illness. I didn't even know it was a thing. So can you give a history about that too, just in general?
very exciting that that's become much more common as far as just like people having at least heard of it. But like I said, I had Hashimoto's and I knew I had autoimmune conditions prior to getting breast implants. At the time I'm from Northern California, but I'd been living in Orange County for over 10 years, you know, and I had my son and breastfed for like 18 months, which, you know, your breasts don't look the same after, right? So I think just, I thought about getting them for 10 years and I met with 4 or 5 different surgeons and each one I asked like, hey, I have autoimmune conditions. Do you think this will be an issue? And oh no. One of them even showed me him driving over an implant in his Hummer. He's like, look, it's fine. It doesn't even rupture. Like, oh my gosh. But also I think it's important to note that my inner knowing, my intuition, whatever you want to call it, knew it probably wasn't the best idea. And my vanity took over. I knew, but also I think I just was insecure in that area and thought, oh, it'll be fine.
So many women, I mean, I've thought about it. And then like you mentioned, breastfeeding totally changes.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is I'd asked each surgeon I actually am not sure that I want implants. I would really like a lift and I don't have big breasts. And none of them were willing to do it because they told me I wouldn't be happy with results. And I remember thinking in my head, well, because I'm very independent. I remember thinking, well, how do you know? Who are you to tell me what I'm happy with? Right.
Right.
And the irony now is that I have what I originally wanted.
You ended up getting a lift.
Yeah, I have a lift. And I have small babies that are lifted. Nice and lifted just how I wanted them. And guess what? I'm pretty happy with them. But I ended up getting them. And then everything seemed fine at first. And then I ended up having them for 6.5 years. And then it was about at the 6-year mark that I happened to see a video by Carissa Pukas. She posted on YouTube something about how she thought her breast implants were making her sick. And wow, major click in my head where I went, oh my gosh, you idiot. You did this to yourself. You know, I bet you this is what's going on. And for me, the primary symptom, because so many of them, like you said before, I was just thinking were normal. So the primary one that I was having difficulty with was the fact that I just couldn't regulate my thyroid. My Hashimoto's was all over the place. I was having to get tested like every 2 to 3 months and we were adjusting my meds and it had gotten so high and then I would go hyper and then I would go back to hypo and looking back at pictures, my face was so puffy. And at the time, like I started out in this industry more in like fitness and sports, performance nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the macro queen. I knew exactly what I was eating and I was eating the same macros every day and my weight would fluctuate tremendously. I was never like heavy, but also there was no explanation for why that would be happening. So
just so I understand it, Hashimoto's is a thyroid disorder.
It is where your body doesn't produce enough thyroid hormone. So the primary symptoms that you'll hear people talking about with that is you're very prone to get constipated, hair and skin gets really dry. You'll lose that outer third of your eyebrow, very cold. You just are very prone to getting cold. Your hands and feet will be cold all the time. You go out in the cold and it's so hard to warm up. Those are like the primary symptoms you'll hear people talking about. And when I would go hyper, for me, meaning all of a sudden I'd have too much hormone between my medication and what my thyroid was creating on its own. I would get like insane restless legs at night. It'd be very difficult to sleep, heart palpitations, things like that. So
you were able to manage it with medication and then suddenly your medication wasn't working. Is that kind of what you noticed?
I just noticed that it was all over the place. I would go swing between hypo and hyperthyroid a ton, which I mean, before it had always been pretty stable where I'd kind of get my thyroid levels checked twice a year and, oh no, your meds are good. Leave them where they are. We were constantly having to change it. Look back, I was very fatigued and I would get, like I said, a lot of heart palpitations. I would get dizzy. My boobs itched. I can't explain it. Like from the inside, I'm like, these are just itchy, like irritation, right?
But, and like inside, not the skin, like you didn't
have it felt inside. A lot of hair loss, dry eyes, just the weight fluctuations, shortness of breath. I would get very dizzy often. I mean, even sitting on the couch watching TV, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And then I had nerve issues where my hands, when I was driving, would go to sleep. And that was a result of the breast implants. I ended up getting thoracic outlet syndrome, which affects the nerves. And I mean, you have a lot of weight on your chest. And my implants weren't even huge, but they were bigger than I asked for. I wanted a small C and woke up with a double D because he said he felt it fit my frame better. I'm 5'9", so I'm tall.
He just took that freedom to...
I can't even tell you how many women I've told that story to. And they said, that happened to me too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So what am I going to do? Go back in for another surgery? So I just dealt with it. And I mean,
yeah,
way bigger than I wanted. I didn't want it to ever even look like I had implants done, you know? So
just did what he wanted.
Yeah. And the difficulty with breast implant illness is there's no test to take to see if you have it.
So were your symptoms the same as
Carissa Pukas? We were talking about how amazing and wonderful it is that you kind of forget all of your symptoms once you got better. So I pulled up an old Instagram post to look at my symptoms. A lot of neck pain and vision disturbances, very difficult time detoxing.
How did you know you were having difficulty detoxing?
I think the puffiness and the inflammation. I could tell that it just wasn't, you know, I could tell. Candida had gotten out of control. So like thrush on my tongue, insane sugar cravings, a lot of like fungal type things, dandruff. Candida loves to be there to protect. It's kind of cool because it's there to protect your body. Candida can protect you from heavy metals and toxins. It will feed off of them. So in that respect, it's like your body's looking out for you. And your body protects you too, because around the implants, it will form these capsules of tissue to try to contain the toxins. But when you go in for explant, it's very, very important that you go to a surgeon that specializes in this and that believes that breast implant illness is an issue, because otherwise you'll go to a surgeon who thinks that it's perfectly fine to just cut open that capsule and pull out the implant and leave the capsule in your body. You'll hear from surgeons, it's fine. Your body will just, you know, dissolve it. But the surgeon that I went to, Dr. Chun in Newport Beach, all he does are explants and capsule removals now, because there'll be people that have had their implants taken out, just thinking, I'm done with these, I don't want to deal with it. And then they'll get sick. And it's because that capsule was cut open and those toxins are able to leach out into the body now. So he's gone in 3 years later and the capsule is still there, and he'll take the capsule out and then people will improve.
So when you're talking about toxins inside the capsule, is it toxins from the material that the implant is made of, or is your body holding toxins from the environment, or both?
It's from the implants. I mean, if you look to see what implants are made of, I know I have a post somewhere, there are so many chemicals and plastics and like,
really?
Chemicals. It's disgusting. And you'll hear people say, but I have, you know, I have saline. Well, what most people don't realize is that everyone has silicone in them, because the shell to the implant, whether you have saline or silicone inside of it or not, is silicone. So you do have toxins in you, even when you have saline. They didn't just put water in your body. There's a balloon holding that water, and the chemical makeup of that balloon implant has silicone and a lot of other chemicals in it.
Is there a safer implant?
They're all that way. So when you have them removed, it's important to have an M-block total capsulectomy, where they actually remove, what they do is they remove that tissue intact and the implant all in one piece, and then they will cut it open after. And that helps tremendously for people who have had like leaks to their implants. You'll see where people have silicone leaks, and that will hold it in. And then the surgeon will come out and cut that open, and it just oozes out. And when that oozes into your body, it's impossible to get it all out. So there'll be people that have ruptures that they go in to try to remove the pieces of silicone, and it's extremely difficult to do.
Does it it travels to other parts of your body?
Yeah, it can travel. So another important thing to consider is, when you have implants in your body, I always tell my clients, you are not allowed to sauna. You just can't, because the heat from our own body will start to break down the implants. Now imagine going into a sauna or even a far infrared sauna where it heats you from the inside out. That's a huge no-no, you know? And even in a bath, like go ahead and take a detox bath, but I don't ever want you submerging your implants into the bathtub, into a hot tub.
That's increases the risk of rupture?
Or a leakage of toxins, of all of that, but it can increase the risk of rupture. Yeah, that's, I was a sauna, crazy sauna person. And as soon as I, you know, had my appointment with Dr. Chun, he's like, absolutely not, you need to stop. So that was a no-go for me until a month after my recovery.
And so the capsule of the implant that has toxins in it, when you heat that up.
So the capsule will remain, the tissue capsule that your body has formed mm-hmm. will remain. But the implant itself will leach out more toxins.
Leach more toxins when it's warm.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things you can still do. You just don't want to heat it up. You know, you want to use a vibration plate to help with your lymphatic drainage. Absolutely. You want to use red light therapy. That's totally fine. But you do not want to get in a sauna. Nothing that's going to like heat you up like that.
This is so interesting. And do you think that everyone that has breast implants will have this issue with the capsule? Or is this kind of something that happens?
Well, I do think that, yeah, I mean, you'll see people form different levels. If you go on, his name is Dr. J, G-A-E, Chun, C-H-U-N. And if you go on his Instagram, he shows the capsules after removal and everybody's body does it differently. Some form extremely thick. Some are like membrane thin. Mine were decently thick. And the capsule itself is a good thing. Do you think that everybody forms some level of that capsule? I hear from people, do you think everybody who has implants is going to get sick? And that all depends on the toxic burden that you started with. It used to be way back when, I know this is so controversial, but we pass on our toxic burden to our children. Like I got it from my parents. I mean, I have a friend that there's a panel that I run through Vibrant America called the Total Toxic Burden Test. And I absolutely love it. I'll go over like the toxins in your body, the mycotoxins, chemicals, molds, all of these different things. It's cool. But my friend who's in her late 20s, she and her husband's panel came up with DDT. I mean, that's obviously passed on from, let's say, a father that was in Vietnam or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do pass on our toxic burdens. I passed mine on to my children. I got, you know, my grandparents passed it on to my parents. They were in World War II. So there's toxins that we pass on and that's nobody's fault. Look at cord blood that they've been studying, right? There's no clean cord blood anymore. People have toxins. So if I knew what I knew now, back when I was pregnant, I would have spent a year detoxing prior to pregnancy to try to get my body into shape for that. I didn't know any of that. So I'll look at my son. I'm so sorry, hon. Yeah. Luckily, I have the information now to help. No. But as far as breast implants, I don't know. What's your toxic burden when you got them? You know, everybody will say, but all of a sudden I got so sick when it comes to whatever, right? Let's say someone gets an autoimmune disease. It's not all of a sudden. You've been dripping toxins and pathogens and parasites and viruses into your bucket your entire life. It just all of a sudden overflowed, right? So your bucket maybe was half full when you were born. Maybe mine was 2/3. Maybe someone had was raised in the Swiss Alps and had an empty bucket. You know, we all have different toxic burdens. So I think that's what's the differentiating factor between people that seem to do fine with them for 20 years and people that get sick within months of having them put in. Because I've had clients that were really, really deathly sick within the first month of having them put in.
This is the first I'm hearing about breast implant illnesses from you. And then you saw someone else post about it, but I'm curious too, Dr. Chun?
Uh-huh.
That you saw, how long has he been seeing or doing these explants? Is this a new thing that's being diagnosed?
You know what? I don't know. And I actually think that at the time when I got it done, I flew out there to have him do it because he's a microsurgeon that specializes in this. I'm like, I want to go to the guy that's going to like get them out right, which by the way, is a lot more expensive than getting them put in. I mean, mine were attached to the capsule was attached to my lungs. And if you know anatomy, you've got these intercostals. So the areas between your lungs, you know, between your ribs.
Yes.
That are a membrane away from your lungs. So someone's there with a scalpel. They need to know what they're doing so they don't puncture your lungs. Your heart's right there.
Right.
It's delicate surgery. So it's, and it takes a lot more time to remove this whole capsule that's attached to lungs and muscles and breast tissue. So I don't know how long he'd been doing it. Liu Jingfeng on the East Coast, I think, has possibly been doing it even longer than Dr. Chen. And the good news is there's a lot more surgeons out there that are capable now. And there's websites you can go to for information. I want to say it's Healing Breast Implant Illness.
How was your recovery from that?
My recovery, you need to spend a month doing nothing. And that's really, really hard. Because within a couple of weeks, you'll start feeling better, but then it goes in waves. I think it's like any other surgery recovery where I think everybody hits a depression mode, right? Once you're recovering from surgery, because your body just doesn't feel good, but then you'll start feeling well and you'll want to do all the things. And you really can't for that first month because there's a real risk of hematoma. So you don't want to have to go back in for surgery, especially if you've traveled for this. Like I flew back to Idaho a week after my surgery. I didn't want to have to like go to a surgeon here that maybe didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
Want to have to fly back to Dr. Chen. So you do that month where you can't, I think you can't pick up anything heavier than 5 pounds. And so you really do need help. Fortunately, my children weren't young. I can't imagine not being able to pick up my kids, but you really do need to not do anything for a month. And then there's certain guidelines of what you can do. I think it's 8 weeks before you can do any like,
so is that similar to getting implants in? It's kind of the same, maybe a little bit longer.
I think it's a little bit longer, but yeah, probably similar. Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to mention, I saw you post about this once and you showed a picture of your eyes right before surgery and right after. And that is what really made me go, whoa.
Your eyes, the color of your eyes can show the toxicity of your body. Like think back to the color of your eyes when you were a child, right? Over the years with my toxic burden, my eyes, I have green eyes and they're light, depending on what I wear. Sometimes they look blue, but as I got older, they just became like an olive khaki green, especially after the implants. And then within 24 hours of having them out, my mom was like, go take a picture. Your eyes look like they did as a kid. So you really don't want to do anything to detox that first month because your body is already doing it for you. It's already okay, the burden's gone. We don't have to work on fighting those implants as much. We can start cleaning up the body a little bit. So you don't want to do anything to push that anymore. Your eyes will lighten. And you'll see that even with people that don't have breast implant illness. I'll work with clients. And as we go through kind of our roadmap to health that we follow, their eyes will lighten and the whites, their eyes will get brighter. And it's really cool to see.
That is really neat. So we talked about, you know, when you were in college is when you had the big breakthrough with your Hashimoto diagnosis. And then at what point did you know at that time that you wanted to be a practitioner, or how did you decide to do that?
So my whole life, I grew up thinking I was going to be a plastic surgeon working on like facial deformities. So I really wanted to go to medical school. And when I was in college, you know, I'm candy striper, working at the hospitals, all that. And I became honestly very disillusioned with the medical system, seeing that like at the time, again, remember this is like over 20 years ago, over 25 years ago, right? But I still think nurses run hospitals, right? So at the time it was a lot of nurses with a doctor popping their head in, not saying that they weren't doing their work, but I just wasn't what I thought it was. Honestly, organic chemistry scared me because that was my first bad grade ever. You know, I just saw the medical system, and I, being a mom has always been really important to me. And I didn't think that I personally, I'm not saying nobody else can do it because I know people get very triggered, but I didn't think I could do both of them well. I didn't think I could be the mom I wanted to be and a surgeon. So I made the decision to pivot my third year of college away from pre-med and studied international relations. So I'd always been interested in like nutrition and all of that since working with Dr. Kresh at Stanford, but no, I didn't know I'd be doing what I am doing now. I think most of my friends in this holistic health space are here because of our own health journeys or those of a loved one that we had to help figure out. So we just want to help other people not take as long to find the answers that it took us.
Yeah.
Mind.
Makes a lot of sense. And that kind of dovetails into my next question. Right. Can you talk about when you might go to a functional practitioner?
So you have a lot of medical doctors that are specialists. You know, you have kidney doctors and blood doctors and gastros and ear, nose, and throat doctors. The way we differ is we look at the body with a very holistic view. All the parts work together. So if something is wrong with the brain, you're probably going to have something wrong with your gut because there's a big brain-gut connection. So neurology and gastro maybe don't always talk together, but we know the connections in functional medicine. I kind of look at it when a client comes to me, I spend so much time prepping. I have 2 new clients tomorrow and I've got at least a couple hours more work on their files before I work, like meet with them. So we do all sorts of lab tests and I look at everything where right now I've got their files together. I have all the labs, I have all the intake forms, and I sit down for at least an hour with each one of them prior to meeting them right now, where I'm going to look at, okay, I have everything in my file. Let me look at it all and see all the connections. So I look at it as like, I'm a investigative, it's more than nutrition because I've been trained in blood work and all of that. So investigative practitioner, I guess, where I'm trying to see, okay, what is going on? I've pulled, you know, bioresonance tests where I can see what pathogens is their body resonating with, which viruses, which parasites, okay, what's going on with their gut? I mean, their digestive system isn't functioning well. And so then there's a different order that we go through. And even with labs, when someone goes in to get lab work at their doctor, and then they receive, let's say, their LabCorp report, and it's got the ranges on the right-hand side that says, okay, if you fall within this range, we're not going to flag it as high or low or anything to look at. We have different ranges in functional medicine. We look at optimal ranges. So I will look at labs from that someone had drawn with a, just let's say their physician, and they say, well, they told me that overall I'm doing fine and there's only 2 markers out of range. And I'll look at, well, I marked 15 or 20 that tell me that your liver is overburdened. I'm getting a picture in my head of the fact that you maybe are experiencing mold illness. You have a viral load going on. Your gut is not producing enough hydrochloric acid for you to digest. I see that your enzyme levels are very low. So you need to have help with digestive enzymes, and that we need to support your liver. Like, I can see a different picture. And then I also order, like I said, bioresonance tests, which measure how well are all of your organ systems working? And are there any parasites or viruses that are resonating with your body? And with bioresonance, it's always important to say I don't diagnose or treat anyone. I look for patterns, right?
Okay. And
we're not allowed to say, you know, that. So we don't use those words, but we can see, okay, your body is resonating right now with Epstein-Barr's frequency. That frequency is within your body. So I'm not diagnosing you with Epstein-Barr, but for some reason, your body is resonating with that. So that may be something that we want to address and support at some point. So we look at all of these different factors and then follow an order of operations. I like to look at the body from what we call north to south. So digestion is always where we start. I've never had anyone come to me where their digestion is functioning optimally. So
never,
no client. And of course I do have people that I'm not their first stop.
I guess you said that a lot of your clients have already tried other things. They've probably already been to different doctors and this is like the next thing that they seek out.
You know, I have such a great network of other practitioners that have become my dearest friends that we all recognize there is unfortunately enough business in this space that we don't, like, if I meet with someone that maybe would match better with another practitioner just because of, I know that practitioner's skill set and knowledge base and what they focus on, I will refer them out. I want people to get to the right people to get well, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not the person that is, I mean, at this age, it's not, I of course love babies and pregnancy and all that, but I have my friends, Margaret Berry or Nina Marie, that I refer people out to for pregnancy and, you know, post-pregnancy care because they specialize in that and they're awesome. I have other friends that specialize in natural cancer care. So I'm going to refer you out to them if you're in the middle of a cancer crisis.
Why do you think it's such a unknown field? I mean, most people that I talk to have, and myself included, have very little knowledge that functional medicine is out there as something that can help them. It's not covered by insurance. Is that correct?
That's a huge barrier. Yeah. I can't bill insurance for what I don't. Yeah.
People, I mean, even the lab work.
You give me a super bill. I'm like, no, sometimes the lab work is, but you know, this was an interesting thing. Obviously I can pull my own labs, right, for myself, and out of ease, not that it's, you know, out of ease, I thought, oh, I'm just going to have my PA, you know, hey, can you order my labs for me? And you have to sign the thing saying not all of these may be covered by insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I don't upcharge on my blood labs at all. And I think people don't realize that most labs have 100% markup. So,
well, that makes a lot of sense because I tried to get lab work done and it was so expensive.
Well, here's the thing. I just was like, you know what? Order the labs for me. Let me come in. I'm going to make it easy for myself so I don't have to put any work in ordering the labs. Covered by insurance, the ones that, like, most of it was, the ones that weren't, I ended up having to pay $600. Yeah. My out of pocket for ordering more comprehensive labs is like 200 something. I don't upcharge my blood labs because I want my clients to be able to get them done. I want the information. I will charge for my time to review them and meet with you.
So what are some of the other tests?
And then I do bioresonance testing, which measures the, everything in the world has a resonance and energy frequency, right? Your heart, people think, oh, this sounds so weird. This is where things get a little woo-woo in people's minds, right? But think of an EKG, it's measuring the energy of your heart. So we are energetic beings. We do need minerals to help the energy run through our body. We do need water to help the energy run through our body. So everything has a resonance, whether that is Epstein-Barr, Lyme, parasites, an apple, whatever, you know. So foods can be tested. And I run comprehensive full scans that test to see how all of your organs are working. Are you resonating with any molds, heavy metals? Do you have enough minerals? Which vitamins are you deficient in? Which foods are causing an inflammatory response? So I run those bioresonance tests, and I just private labeled a FitQuest nutrition bioresonance test that I am literally putting the stuff on my website now for people to order it. But what I noticed was missing was the pathogen factor, where they will test to see which pathogens are of most issue right now in the full scan. But I want to see when someone comes to me, what pathogens are even in the body, whether the body is ready to deal with them now or not. I want to know what all resonates. So I worked with the lab to create a Lyme/pathogen add-on. So someone can add that on to the full scan, or they can order that all on its own. Okay, what's in my body right now? You know, which viruses? And once we have a virus, it stays in our body. It's just, can our immune system handle it or not? So that's why you'll see someone that said, I had mono as a kid, and then maybe they have a recurrence in their 30s during a very stressful time, right? So I want to know what's in there, because there are homeopathics that we can have someone work with that helps keep that squashed down so it won't become an issue. So these scans also test when you do the full scan. I was just talking to the lab about it. They're not going to run it for just the pathogen if someone does that on its own. But when they do the full scan, they also test which remedies is your particular body wanting to go after these things. So it's very individualized. And, you know, all of this seemed very woo-woo to me at the beginning too, but I have seen time and time again where when I order the bioresonance and the blood work, which every client that comes to me needs to do, they line up. It's insane. They line up. Really? It is science. Yep.
It kind of reminds me, I know you talked about Dr. Keneally, and when we read her book, she talks about tailoring the cancer treatment to what your body would respond to most. So it's not just a treatment that would be across the board for a specific type of cancer.
Because we all have different reasons why we get those diseases, right? So you can have 10 women with breast cancer. They didn't all get it for the same reason.
And their body's going to respond to a different remedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And then there's another one that you mentioned earlier, was a toxic burden.
Different test. That's through Vibrant America. And it's an expensive test, but it's one that I really like because it gives you your levels for everything. And a lot of these toxins take a very long time to remove from the body. I'm getting ready to run it on myself again, just to confirm that what I'm doing is like lowering my mold load, lowering my toxic burden, you know, like everything is working. I can tell that it is, but it's nice to see the numbers. And it's nice to, it was really nice to see on that because it will test your glyphosate numbers too. Of course, for 10 years. So I can't avoid glyphosate. And my level, like I showed it to all my friends, they're like, yours is like the lowest we've ever seen. So like the binders I'm using and the detox practices I'm doing are working. And the cool thing is that there's also bioresonance scan companies out there for dogs.
Would it detect something like toxins in your products? And I asked that obviously because of my
interest. I wished I could share my screen with you, but so many, I was like, when I first, I've only done the test on myself once, so I don't have the comparison, right? That's why I'm getting ready to do it again. But yes, I'm like looking at it going, gosh, darn Bath and Body Works from when I was like 13. Like they stay in there for a long time. You know, I mean, everything that I'm doing is chipping away at them.
But it's neat. You can see your progress.
Yes, exactly.
That's what's cool to track. So, okay. One of the things I want to ask you about is the different wellness practices that you share on Instagram. It kind of introduces your community to it in such a great way because we can see your experience. I love that so much. And it's really piqued my interest and there's so many of them, but I'll just ask you about a few and maybe you can tell me worth it, not worth it. Parasite cleanses.
I think everybody needs to do it. I've never met a client that doesn't have a parasite.
Everybody
do. You know what? How I was introduced to this because I didn't know it was an issue, even doing this for years, right? My friend Dr. Jess was working with this company at the time to formulate her own supplements, and she created one, Microbiome Master. She's not affiliated with them anymore. So I don't even know what their quality is. So I'm not saying don't run out and get it. But I was just working on my microbiome and I had no idea that there were anti-parasitic herbs in this. And I was taking it for probably about a week when I went to the restroom in the morning. And as I was wiping, holy cow, there were worms on my toilet paper. And I looked and I was like, oh, I think if you look at my highlight on parasites, you will see my face. Cause I was like, was right after it had happened. I was so like grossed out by myself and amazed at the same time. And that's what made me like jump right into the rabbit hole of figuring that out. And I was like, just what is happening? You know?
Yeah.
Like black walnut and a bunch of, you know, cloves, and there was a bunch of anti-parasitic herbs in the Microbiome Master. So Cellcor is a company that I work with a lot. And Dr. Jay and Dr. Todd are just really nice people. And
they have a protocol?
There's protocols. And I like to rotate. You know, I don't think my world is not any one supplement company. There are so many good ones out there that I work with. Cellcor is a great one. And I mean, Dr. Todd's favorite test for if someone has a parasite is, do they have a pulse? Everybody has parasites. And this is something that we regularly did cleanses for when you're looking at like our grandparents' generation or people from Europe or South America.
Really? What would they do?
Herbs or medications. Just it's a regular thing. Talk to people from other countries.
What is the goal when doing these cleanses? I mean, I know it sounds gross, you have parasites, but what benefits do you get when you do them?
Again, it just adds to that toxic burden in your body. Having a lot of like digestive distress. I mean, there can be parasites anywhere. They can be in organs. They can be in your brain. They can be in your eyes. Like a lot of those floaters can be due to mold or parasites. I think we can coexist with the parasites. We don't need to completely eradicate them. Okay. But most of us have never done these cleanses, and it's something that you should stay on top of.
Like once a year or something?
Quarterly. It depends on the body, right? I had to parasite cleanse for a good 18 months before I didn't physically see them. And there are different parasites. Oh. There's ones that you see. Wow. There's ones that are bloodborne parasites. There's ones you can't, they're so small, you can't see them. And this isn't something that I think anyone should just jump right into.
Okay.
I mean, you need to make sure your drainage pathways are open. So do you sweat? So many people come to me and they're like, I just never sweat. You really need to be pooping. Okay. You drink enough so that you're peeing appropriately. Is your liver functioning properly? You know, there's, you want to make sure all of those detox pathways are open. Does your lymph move? If they don't, and you start doing these cleanses, you'll hear people say that they get on an overall cleanse and feel horrible. Well, that's because you have stirred up a bunch of different crud and it has no way to get out of you.
Okay. The second one, this one just also kind of scares me. Enemas.
Again, something that used to be very common in talking to my mom. If we didn't poop, my mom would make me do an enema. My mom grew up in Alaska. They homesteaded, you know.
Wow.
And like she was like, yeah, it was cod liver oil and enemas growing up. Again, I think enemas can be fine. There's, of course, some people where it's contraindicated if they have some sort of colon or bowel issue. You know, I think we never said this. So let's say this disclaimer, this is not medical advice. I'm just sharing my experiences with clients.
Okay.
Don't go run out and do things. Make sure you're working with someone that can help you, but you don't start with a coffee enema, right? That's something where when I'm working with someone, that's maybe month 5 or 6, but you could start with a water enema. So that's how it used to be, right? Like if you couldn't poop, okay, let's do a water enema. You can buy Fleet enemas. Disclaimer out there, I don't know people's different medical histories, so I don't know if there's any contraindications for them, but there are books out there that have different enema recipes. Chamomile is one that can be very soothing to the gut, so you can do chamomile enemas. There's so many different recipes.
And so it really treats constipation. Is that yes. Kind of the main thing?
And you know what? Constipation is a much bigger danger than people realize, especially women, because pooping is one of the ways that we clear excess estrogen. So as women, if we are not pooping every day, you are recirculating your estrogen and you're much more likely to become estrogen dominant. And let's think of some of these female cancers that we're all have so much fear around, right? Estrogen driven. So
yes.
You really, really, really do not want to have that excess estrogen recirculating through your body. Constipation really needs to be addressed.
Red light therapy. Now I see all people using these masks. They've got the box. I'm really curious about red light. I know it has so many different uses, but does it help your skin?
Yeah, no, it really does help your skin. I mean, look, your hair and your skin are such an indicator of health, right? Just overall health.
Right.
And that all, you'll hear people say, you know, all things start with adrenal fatigue. No, it's not adrenals. It's your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells, right? So you need to have your cells be healthy, and red light does help recharge your mitochondria. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Even if it's only on one part of the body, does it help your mitochondria throughout the body, or is it just localized?
So each morning you would probably laugh to see, like right next to me, I have my vibration plate, which works on like your lymphatic drainage. And right in front of it, I have a big red light panel. So I will in the morning come in and stand in front of that. And you want to expose as much skin as you can to it. And I do like a 15-minute vibration plate. So I'll turn around halfway through to get my front and back. And that's, I think I'm a good like 3 feet away. You can get really close to it for certain other things. I have a flex beam that I use. You can use directly on your body. For certain things, you can put it on your gut for just overall gut health, along your spine for overall, like, you know, your nervous system health, but like sore muscles. I have different red lights for different things. And then I have my red light helmet. My kids call it my stormtrooper helmet. and it's important to have different things because they have different frequencies. So I'll have people say, can't I just like stick my head in front of my panel for my hair health? But no, it's a specific frequency that works on hair health.
Okay. So, are they warm?
Yes, they're warm, but not hot.
So you feel a little bit of warmth coming from
a little bit of warmth. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a sauna that's also red?
Yeah, I think my husband and I are building right now. And so I have a Sunlight right now that I think I'll end up giving to my son. It's a low EMF infrared sauna. But when we move, we're going to get a 3-person clear light. And you can get it with like light therapy in it, where it rotates through different colors for different health benefits. But you can also get it with integrated red light panels. So I'm going to get those integrated into the sauna. And you can also get halotherapy put into it, which is, have you ever heard of like the salt rooms
that
you
can get? Yes, I have. Yeah.
So halotherapy in the sauna, they have it where it puts out a mist of the salt for you to breathe in. It's really good for your like respiratory system and sinuses.
Sauna with the light, you get the benefit, you get the heat from the light.
You're just habit stacking, right? You're getting more things done at once. But I mean, I have to say, I think sauna is one of my absolute favorite detox modalities. I've been using it for years. There are so many studies that show the benefits of detoxing, but also heart health. I mean, there's people that just aren't at a point in their health journey where they're able to exercise.
I've wondered, why is there a benefit to the sauna versus just exercising and sweating a lot?
You can have someone that's unable to exercise and they sit there, and it does bring up your heart rate to get so hot, right? But then also heating up the body can go after some pathogens too, right? Think of what a fever does when you're sick. I'm not someone that wants to squash fever. I mean, my son last week called me and he's like, "Mom, I have a 103.8. What do I do?" I'm like, "Well, you let it do its thing. Getting up there, but it's there for a reason. You don't want your fever to get scary high, right?" But high body temperature kills some of these pathogens and helps your body fight viruses and bacteria and all of that. So there's a purpose behind it. And it's also those heat shock proteins, kind of like cold therapy has cold shock proteins. Okay. You know, So, but the sweat, I always say that when I get out of the sauna, I sweat massively. I haven't to this day, and I don't know why, but I really want to measure my towel before and after and see like how many pounds of sweat comes out. It's like a shower from the inside out is how I kind of put it. Cause you really are getting toxins out of there. And I've taken pictures before, because when on a heavy mold protocol, I've been in the sauna and sweat, and then I get up and I have black and gray marks that have come out in my sweat. Sometimes you can see those toxins coming out, and I take binders to bind up the toxins before I get in the sauna.
And those are supplements?
They're supplements. Some of the ones that have been out there for the longest are like charcoal based binders, make with like coconut, or what have you. But my favorite ones really are by Cellcore. They have the most amazing like fulvic and humic technology that really does bind to things, and it binds to the bad guys while not binding to your nutrients. With more of the like charcoal based ones, you have to really time them away from your food and your supplements, because they will bind up everything good and bad. But Cellcores don't. You want to take them away from pharmaceuticals just out of an abundance of caution, right?
Okay.
But otherwise you can take them with food and your supplements, and it doesn't affect anything. And they have very targeted ones for different purposes, right? They have HMET that goes after heavy metals and environmental toxins, and carboxy, which goes after mold, especially when combined with one of their other supplements. And they have biotoxin binder, which just is a good all over one. They have Virad Chem, which goes after viruses, radiation, and chemicals. So I'll take that when I get on an airplane or, you know.
So you can take these on their own, not necessarily combined with the sauna, but you do them together. Absolutely. Sometimes just to up the.
Yeah, I rotate through them. I think it's great to rotate through them. I have most people start with biotoxin binder. Some people are very sensitive. I have someone that just contacted me and said, "Okay, I'm up to half capsule twice a day of biotoxin." Well, I want to get someone to like 6 capsules a day before we move on to carboxy. So this is where having a practitioner is helpful. I always say, I don't want you to come to me for life. I want to teach you and give you the tools that you know how to use these things. So let's say you get your gut in a great place, and maybe you don't need hydrochloric acid to help you digest anymore, but you go through a very stressful event and then your digestion is going to be impacted. You know how to bring that back in and recognize, "Oh, I'm getting bloated. I think maybe I don't have the stomach acid that I used to have." Know how to use those tools. My goal is for people to learn how to bring these things in and out during times of stress. I mean, let's say you have a parent die, your body is going to get wrecked from the stress of that. So how can I bring in things to support my adrenal glands and my mitochondria and my digestion during these stressful times? Or I'm getting sick. What do I do? And then you learn how to, you know,
yeah,
kind of navigate life after that, and maybe check in once a year if you have a question. Because I work with people one-on-one, but I also have the, hey, you can book 60 minutes with me, and I don't prep for that time, but you have me for 60 minutes.
So another one, we read this book in my book club last year, and it was not what I expected at all. I learned so much. It was Glucose Revolution.
Oh yeah.
I
did that during my practitioner book club too. I started a practitioner book club, and we did
that. It's such a straightforward, easy read, which is so great about it, because I think that anyone could benefit from the simple tips in that book. But one of the
very practical tips. Yeah.
Yeah. So practical, easy to implement. And you see the benefits right away. You make those changes, you see them immediately. But one of the things she talks about is glucose monitoring. And so you've done this, the glucose monitoring, and I'd love to hear about your experience with that and maybe explain what that is.
So you'll hear people talk about a CGM, that stands for continuous glucose monitor. I have an affiliation with NutriSense, and that's what I like to have my clients use. And you basically, I have a niece with type one. So for years I've seen, you know, her with her monitor on her arm. Yeah. And it monitors your glucose levels throughout the day. And you can use their app to input what you've eaten, when you've eaten that, you know, all the data, so that you can analyze which specific foods are spiking your glucose. And then you can run experiments. Like, one of the things I was shocked to learn personally was that Japanese sweet potato absolutely skyrockets my glucose. You may be perfectly fine with it, and it skyrockets mine. And that was even using all the tips, right? Eating my vegetables first. I fried it up in ghee, so there was plenty of fat. I had it with protein, and I only had, like, I like to make Japanese sweet potatoes, bake them and then cool them off, cut them in little medallions, and then fry them up. It's so good.
Yeah,
three little squares, and my glucose shot up 80 points. Rice only spikes me like 50, you know? So
yeah. Wow.
So that was a trigger for me. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't really eat them very often anymore, because I'm like, well, that's like having a piece of cake, you know, like, yeah. You know, there's other things I can eat. I do think there is something to our ancestry and what foods we can handle. You know, I don't think rice spikes my husband the way that it spikes me. He's Chinese. I think his genetics have formed that. I do great with like sausages and potatoes and kraut, but I'm Scandinavian. But these tools are great for helping you figure out your triggers. And I wore mine for 3 months. I mean, obviously you change it every 2 weeks, but I did it for 3 months to kind of learn my body. And you're not going to go through a 3 month period of your life without getting in an argument with someone or having a stressful, you know, if you're married or have children that are a teenager, it just happens, right?
Life. Yeah. So 3 months, it's a good.
Stresses happen. Yeah. So you will see how it absolutely can spike your blood sugar just having a stressful event. I mean, during my 3 months, we found out that my father-in-law had a brain tumor. So going through all of that, you see like the stress pop up in the blood sugar. So it's really learning, okay, I need to figure out how to handle my stress, have practices in place for this, because elevated glucose really is detrimental to health. So you want to figure out how to keep it as stable and level as you can. Exercise is a great way to do that. So you know what? Ran an experiment where I had a heavy workout and then had Japanese sweet potato, and it didn't spike me nearly as much.
Just the knowing of what your specific triggers are, I think that's so helpful.
It's really helpful, really helpful. So that is a tool I really like to utilize when someone's at a point where they want to kind of reach that next level of health. And then I do like to, if someone wants to go further after that, that's when I would introduce the Lumen.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one I was going to ask you about next.
Yeah. So that's the order I like to do it. I like to have people start with the continuous glucose monitor, figure all those triggers out, and then do the Lumen, which is a device that it measures your breath. So, you know, your carbon dioxide output to figure out, like, are you currently burning fats, or are you in a carb burning phase or stage? You want to wake up fat burning. But I mean, myself, I was waking up burning carbs, and that's not where you want to be. For me, I figured out that you know, even if I made like a, I love a quick protein and their collagens. And sometimes before bed, I'd want something sweet. So I would make like their chocolate collagen with some almond milk and just make a hot chocolate that way with those two. It would spike my lumen in the morning. It would put me into carb burning. So anything, anything, no matter how good, if I ate within 3 hours of bed, I'd wake up in that carb burning state.
Yeah. Didn't matter what it was. No. I just personal experience. I've just noticed what a different that makes for me. And I guess like you're saying, everybody's different, but not eating it, those 3 hours before bed is game changer.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. You really, I think that's a good practice for everyone to get into is stopping eating 3 hours before bed. And it really does matter when you go to bed too, guys, because our body goes through different cleanup processes while we're asleep during different hours. And between like 1 and 1 is your liver. So if someone regularly stays up till 12:30 every night, their liver is not going to go through its
cleanup. Oh,
you should go to bed by 10. I'm not always great about that. The pandemic kind of messed me up that way too.
Gosh, I just fall asleep so easy because I think it's because my kids get up so early and they wake me up. And so I'm just on this, but I always kind of have been a morning person, but.
Oh, I am too. Yeah.
Anyway, a liver, no matter what your sleep and wake time, it's always going to be between 11 and 1. That is fascinating.
Yeah. Our body follows a circadian rhythm, right? So it's important to, if you are someone that has trouble falling to sleep at like 10, you need to wake up early in the morning and get your eyes out into the sun to help, you know, regulate that circadian rhythm. It's important. Yeah. Think of how humans were made, right? We weren't made with electricity. So you come to my house at night, and I mean, my husband complained about this for a long time, and I think he just gets that's how it is now. Our lights are dim come 7 p.m., and it really does get your hormones working the way they should as far as like melatonin and getting you ready for bed. And then in the morning, everything's on, everything's bright. You know, try to get that actual sunlight. If you were to be able to go on a 20-minute walk in the morning or sit out and journal out in your backyard.
Quick question about this. So I go outside when I wake up, it's still dark. Do I still get the benefit from going outside?
Yeah. When the sun's coming up, I would say when the sun is coming up, I take the time to set up relationships with all the companies for the products that I actually like so that people can just go to, I have a link in my tap bio or on my website. I always keep all my links and coupon codes updated because
nice.
I realize how expensive all of this is, and I want to try to save money personally. So yeah. I will set these up for myself personally to save money, and then I'll pass it on. Some of them I do make a commission on, but it's still cheaper than you would get going to the website.
Right. So I guess that kind of leads me into my next two questions. What are the top practices that you've invested in that you think are totally worth it? If someone were going to spend on something, what would it be?
Okay. So I'm going to preface this with, don't waste your money on any of these things if you haven't gone through getting enough water, making sure you're getting good sleep, and making sure you're eating good food. Those are the basis. And those things, I mean, we all have to pay for food. And yes, the organic, grass-fed, all that can be a little bit more expensive. I would rather see you put your money towards that before buying any of these other things. So most of the things you should be doing are going to be free, right? Mm-hmm. Getting out on a walk, moving your body, getting out in the sunlight, sleeping, drinking water. High quality water, by the way, matters. You do not want to be drinking tap water or you're adding to your toxic burden. So water quality is super important. I would have someone spend their money getting high quality water before any of these things. And okay. I mean, we're not in our forever home right now. So I have Mountain Valley spring water delivered. And it's not the cheapest, but it's that important to me. So having given that disclaimer, I guess.
Yeah.
I love a sauna. That is a big expense, but there are portable ones you can get through Therasage. And I have a coupon for 10% off on my website. And they regularly have sales. So you can hold out. They regularly have sales for 20% off too.
Oh, okay. So, is this like a tent? Is that, you set it up in your house like a tent?
It looks like it. Yeah. So you'll see sometimes pictures where people are sitting in it and their heads poking out of it. You can do it that way, but I usually close that. I have one up at my cabin. And it heats up like immediately, and it can get so hot, and it has integrated red light in it as well. So mm-hmm. I actually sit down in it. I'll put a towel down at the bottom and I sit in it. That is a great purchase if you can't afford, you know, it's your own standalone big sauna. There are also memberships you can get out there. I have a friend that owns the Perspire Sauna Studios in my area. So mm-hmm. look around, you may have those too. And those use those clear light saunas that I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy that when we move. So it has
the clear, that's the one that rotates the different types of light, like red or.
Yep, they'll rotate those. They have integrated red lights. I don't think they have the halotherapy, but I was talking to the owner and he's thinking about doing that for his next studio. So sauna is very big, but a vibration plate. I used to go to a doctor where I would stand on his very special, I think it was like an $8,000 machine. These are $200 machines from Life Pro that you can get on Amazon, and they work just as well. So I think a vibration plate is amazing.
That's for lymphatic drainage?
That's for lymphatic drainage. Yeah, it's great. My father, I am working with a friend as his, you know, I think it's good to not have your own family go to you, especially, you know, it just tends to work that way. It's kind of hard sometimes to listen to family. So I have him working with a friend and I help him out with his protocols and all of that. And I had him get a vibration plate, and he's 75 years old and worked up very slowly on it. But he said he feels like it actually has helped him tremendously with his balance too. So he started out holding on to things, but he's like, my balance is so much better now. And, you know, it's good for your muscles and your lymphatic drainage and all of that. And then I think red light would be my third.
Your third. And with the vibration plate, it's sort of an exercise. Is that what you're saying?
You can stand there.
You stand there?
There's different modes and different programs that you can go on that rotate through different levels. But I have people start on like level one. I think I had my dad start with a minute. Because I'm like, here's a 75-year-old that's never done any detox at all. So I don't want to overburden his system. I never want him to have a Herxheimer reaction where he's not feeling good, right? So low and slow is always my motto. Unless someone is in an absolute like crisis, just low and slow. Some people want to just power through and I'll deal with whatever, because they just are like in such a hurry to get better because things are so bad. But in general, most people do not have to ever do that. People will get clogged lymph nodes, and moving lymph is, you know, going on walks, exercising, running, jog, you know, like the jar. I mean, jarring is a bad word, but getting the bouncing, like you'll see people use,
I've seen trampolines. Rebounders. Yeah.
Rebounders. Yeah. That's another way you can do it. Not everybody can jump on a trampoline. I'm not going to have my dad jump on a trampoline. Right. And I like the vibration plate too, for, I think it's very effective. But I can stand on that wall in front of my red light while going through emails in the morning or do
you habit stack.
I massively like normally I have a meditation going. So, or that's when I do prayer.
Oh, wow.
You know,
the sauna, the red light, the plate, those are the three big ones after the basics. And then what would you say are, and I guess this is what you've already touched on, the free tools would be getting outside, seeing sunlight, moving your body, having good sleep habits, getting to bed early so that your liver can do its thing between 11 and 1.
All your systems. Here's one other thing about sleep, you guys. They have recently, within the last few years, learned that we have what's called a glymphatic system. And that's basically the brain drain. Our brain drains its toxins every night only if you are in deep sleep. So if you are not getting the sleep, you're not getting that brain drain. And I don't think any of us want to like get older and have dementia or Alzheimer's or things like that. So let's think about how important it is for our brain to detox every night. Sleeping and moving, people.
Focus on those two things. Yeah.
And sweating and yeah. So really, really important.
Well, you have shared so much good information. This is going to be so helpful for everybody. I want to close it with, but for someone who is just kind of diving into this health world and starting to figure things out, do you have any words of wisdom?
Yeah. Focus on those basics to start with, you know, food. Well, I can't express enough how important it is to have high quality water. A lot of the heavy metals and the radiation that gets in our body is from poor water. And our water here in this country may not have the parasites in it that a lot of other countries have, but it's not high quality either. Personally, as we build, we are going to have a whole house system by Greenfield. That's what I've decided upon. And it also structures the water too.
What does that mean?
Water has four different phases, and one of them has to do with the structure of water. So, you know, we have liquid, we have vapor, we can have solid. There's also a fourth phase, which is the structure of the water. But Greenfield,
Greenfield is good to know. I get this question a lot on my Instagram page.
It takes out all the bad things. It, you know, you can remineralize, but then it structures it. And that something about the structuring of the water gets it to actually go into your cells a lot more. Okay. And the whole house aspect of it is that people don't think, yes, we drink water, but we bathe in water and we shower in water, and our skin is very, very absorbed. You know, it absorbs the water. So having that be high quality really matters. So I realized not everybody can do a whole house system. When we were dealing with my dad's health crisis, I was like, we need to get you guys some high quality water because your moldy Brita isn't doing it. You know, I got them a, Aqua True.
Oh yeah, the countertop reverse osmosis.
Countertop reverse osmosis, right? And then I'm having them remineralize their water too. So that was the best solution for them because they, I mean, obviously California's gotten a lot of water, but they've been in a drought for so long that my dad is like, I just can't do reverse osmosis. It takes so much water to make it. And they were on
strict
amounts of water per day. So this is countertop and it doesn't go through nearly as much water to make the water.
I see. Right. And that would make sense for your whole house. It wouldn't make sense to do reverse osmosis.
Yeah.
It would just waste so much.
Well, and they're just focused on their drinking water. They haven't even gotten to the point where they're considering whole house filters.
I think whole house. Yeah. I personally just do the under sink for the drinking and cooking, but I would love to have a whole house at some point. I think that's
And remineralizing the water is important too, because like I said, we're electrical beings and we need those minerals to conduct that electricity. It can be trace elements, or CellCore has, you know, that, or Body Bio has some E-Lite. There's a lot of different minerals.
I recently started trying some and they're fine. They don't taste like anything. They just
No, you can add a pinch of high quality salt to your water too, and that can give you minerals. I like rotating through different things because
I do that too.
There's no one perfect thing out there, right?
Right. So much information. I'm excited for everybody to hear it.
Yeah. So I'm available. I always do answer all of my DMs.
I love that.
Questions, feel free.
Yeah. And like you said, everything is linked in your link in bio, all of the discounts and all of the things that you recommend. Oh, I should ask, if somebody would like to see you as a client, should they reach out to you on Instagram or your email, or is there?
Yeah. You can reach out to me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way, at fitquest_nutrition. And just having worked with people for so many years, and like I said, I'm a very straightforward person. I do have an application process because I put so much work into, especially that first meeting and getting my whole head wrapped around your case, that, there's an application process. I've been able to tell from the start who's actually ready to really do the change that needs.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're like me. Their time or mine. So
yeah, I think people appreciate that. It makes sense.
I love your app and I do talk it up all the time. I use it every week.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. Anytime I see some product that, you know, I mean, I was joking the other day about how like my Instagram always has, you know, when I'm going through other people's stories, there's an ad that pops up and it's always like, this cream's going to make you look 20 years younger. So I always go to it, pull it up, and I'm like, well, nope, not for me.
Not that one.
Not that one. Switch Natural says no.
Yay. Oh, I'm glad to hear you're scanning everything. It's awesome.
I do. It's easy.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me.